Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is,
if I can walk you through a commercial deal from start to finish, if I can show you how it's done in 10 steps, I believe what I'm going to share with you here can change your life. What I'm going to do here is break down the 10 steps required to complete an entire commercial transaction, regardless if it's an apartment building, self-storage facility, mobile home park, the same 10 steps apply. And I believe if you can see it, you can feel it, you can probably do it yourself. That's my whole goal here. So let's get started. Now, before I break down the 10 steps, I'll share a couple of things with you. Number one is a commercial transaction, it takes 45 to 60 days. When you purchase a single family home or even a fourplex, you can probably get it done in 30 days. But a commercial transaction is more like a business transaction. It does take a little longer than a residential deal. Secondly, this is really important. Now, you see these 10 steps over here? These same steps apply if it's a small 5-unit building or a very large 100-unit apartment complex. The same steps apply. So you may want to focus on the larger buildings, but I'll leave that up to you. Thirdly here, no experience required. You need no college degree. You don't have to be a multimillionaire. You don't have to be a very smart person, so to speak. No experience required. One of our students, a truck driver, awesome guy, just closed on an 18-unit apartment building, his very first deal. He followed these steps from start to finish. Next, I really believe that you can do this. So my goal is after this, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe you can do this? And I'm going to speak it into existence and say, yes, I believe you can do it. Now let's get started. Okay, here are the 10 steps. Number one is you're going to locate an off-market deal. Okay, and by the way, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each steps quickly. Then I'll come back and I'm going to break down each step just for you. So number one is a located off-market commercial deal. Next, we're going to analyze the deal. Once we analyze it, we're going to make the offer. Once we make the offer, we're going to and it gets accepted, we're going to jump into our due diligence, our inspection period, and do all of that fun stuff. Now, once we're in our due diligence period, we have maybe 30 days to make a decision if we can move forward or not. Now, if we're going to move forward, we can start to prepare for closing. Once we prepare for closing, we get to the closing day. Once we get to closing day, we have our post-closing activities. Many of you think after you close is all done, wrong answer. That's where the money's made, and that's where the fun starts, and that's when the real work begins, is once you close your deal. A lot of companies like ours, they help you close the deal, and that's it, and that's where they go wrong. Next is accounting and reporting. This is the most unsexiest part of the business, is the accounting part, but it is probably the most important. We put large resources into our students to make sure this part is being done correctly. We coach them correctly on this part as part of us being responsible coaches and mentors to teach this part. And lastly, you're going to execute your exit strategy. So these are 10 steps. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through each step individually and break it down for you because I want you to get it so you can see that you can do it. Let's do that next. Let's start with number one, locate an off-market deal. Okay, 1 out of 10, as I explained to you, I'm going to break down each of the 10 steps so you can put yourself in the exact position to do a deal yourself. Number one is locate an off-market deal. We have proprietary ways in our company of how to go direct to a property owner, engage with them, and buy properties directly from them. Those are by far the best deals. So once you locate an off-market deal, you're going to engage with the seller. And this first step is listed number one for a reason. Property owners are not only property owners, they're also human beings. We're dealing with human beings. So you need to get their motivation for selling, and you need to build rapport. Once you do that, they'll give you the property information needed. For example, you'll need what the property is making per month or per year, what the operational expenses are, and a rent roll, which is basically a register of people who live there and what rents they are paying and when they enter and when they leave. or when they are leaving. All right, so after you have this information, you go to number two, which is basically analyzing and evaluating the deal and also the market. I have a video that breaks down all the terms and the math and how to calculate basic numbers on a commercial deal. Okay, that's there for you. So basically, to do number two, you're going to calculate the cash flow, the cash and cash return, the cap rate, and the debt coverage ratio, DCR. Our students have software when they join our firm. It's called ePartner. And basically, they plug in the numbers and the software kicks out all of this for them. So next, you're going to get sales comparables, rent comparables, market cap rate, and do an on-site visit. That will cover analyzing the market. So can you see what I did here? We're going to analyze the deal first. I'm going to analyze the market. So once you locate the deal, you do the analysis. Next, we get to go to the fun part, okay? Sometimes for our students, the scary part. But you're going to make an offer, and you're going to use a purchase contract or a letter of intent. Let me briefly talk about these two. A letter of intent is a single sheet of paper where you put down the basic terms of the deal, your offer, you know, your down payment, your financing, all in one sheet of paper is legally non-binding. So you're just putting forth the basic terms. So again, it's legally non-binding, and it just allows you to make a quick offer. In my opinion, it's a weak way to make an offer. If you've done number one, number two, you like the deal, don't use a letter of intent. Go for it and use a contract. So when you use a purchase contract in commercial, many of you are scared, okay, Peter, what if I get trapped in a deal? No, our students don't get trapped because we have contingencies in our contract. We have inspection contingencies, finance contingencies, title contingencies, and appraisal contingencies. So if you're out there doing deals yourself, make sure you have those four contingencies or you can get yourself in trouble. So once you make an offer, you're going to have to handle the counter offers back and forth between you and the seller. This is where coaching comes into play, because you're going to make your offer and then the seller is going to come back to you with a counter offer. Then you need to go back to him with a counter offer. He comes back to you, go back and forth a few times, and you really need to know what you're doing. Okay. So this is the value of coaching that we offer to our students. So we do this all day. So it's not a problem for us. We're really good at it. Next is, once you're done with the counter offer going back and forth, your offer is accepted. You are now under contract. So this is a big step to get under contract. Very exciting, but the work is just beginning. So let's go to the next step, which is step four. All right, I'm assuming that now you are under contract. What's next? That's what number four is. Once you're under contract, what's next? There's a whole lot of stuff to do in commercial, a whole lot of stuff, and I'm going to share that with you today. Number one is, once you're under contract, you enter into your inspection period or your due diligence period, where you have to do your homework on the property. You're going to conduct your due diligence, and normally you're given 30 days to do this investigation. Now, when you purchase a home or you purchase a residential, four unit or less, that's residential, you're not given 30 days. Usually it's 7 or 10 days, basically, to do all your homework. And basically, because in residential, you do have consumer protection laws protecting you. But once you jump into 5 units and greater, you're in a commercial world, there are no consumer protection laws. It's buyer beware. And unfortunately, the seller can lie through his teeth and you can catch them at the end after you own the property, and there's nothing you can do about it in most cases. Okay? So that's why we're given 30 days to do all of this work. And if you don't have help here, you need to get help. So your due diligence is broken up into three sections: your physical inspection, your financial inspection, and your legal inspection. So those three. Now, on your physical inspection, you're going to walk through the property. You're going to bring a professional inspector there. You're going to have your property manager there. You're going to have your electrical guy there, your plumber guy there, your roofer there, maybe a structural engineer there. Everybody will be there on that day or a few days to conduct a very thorough inspection. After the inspection, you're going to get repair estimates on what stuff costs to repair stairwells or to repatch a parking lot or to upgrade some of the units. You get all the estimates there. Then you also going to have to check out your competition. In this 30 days, you need to go check out your competition and see what they're doing. Next, we have our financial part of our due diligence, where you're going to apply for the loan. And in the commercial transaction, the lender portion takes the longest. It can take 30 to 45 days just to get a loan approval. And you're only given 30 days. How do you do that? Well, we'll talk about that later. And then you're going to examine the income and expenses on the property. So now that you're getting the electrical bills, you're getting the tax statements, you're getting other documentation from the seller, you're going to compare that to what you were given a month ago, a few weeks ago. And a lot of times there's differences there. This is why, again, we're given 30 days to figure this out. And you're going to do what I call a deeper analysis on this property financially. And next you have the legal portion. I'll simplify it for you. You're going to check the title of the property, make sure it's correct. There's nothing on there like a lawsuit. You're going to form your LLC so you can take ownership. And then this is where you're going to formalize or begin your syndication docs if this is a syndicated deal. And then also you're going to interview your property managers. So all under this due diligence period, you have 30 days. Ooh, okay, I'll take a deep breath here. And this is a lot to do in the 30 days. Okay, a lot to do. All right, number five is, after you've done all of this investigation on the property, now it comes down to make a decision. I call this step five, which is the decision point. All right, is this a go or is it a no-go? Here's some questions to ask yourself after you've done all this work. Do I still like the deal based upon the last 30 days? Now that I walked through the property, I examined the financials, do I still like the deal? Next, were you able to renegotiate the deal with the seller and create a win-win? Oftentimes when you do your walkthrough and you got repairs, you're going to go back and you're going to ask for a credit. You're going to ask for him to repair something to make the deal better for you and remove some of the risk. So now, were you able to renegotiate some of that with the seller? And lastly, this is huge these days. Do I have favorable lender terms? So this is a big decision point here, is getting favorable lender terms. With the high interest rates, maybe the interest rates you're receiving for your deal are too high and it kills the cash flow. I don't know. But in that case, what we teach our students to do is to turn, if the interest rates are high, now we go back and we try to create and do something creative with the seller. Creative financing is huge today, and it will continue to be huge as this interest rate starts to flux up and down. So that's four, once you're under contract, and five, you make a decision. Now, I'm going to assume now that we're going to make a go. So we're going to move forward to step six. Let's go to step six next. All right, once we're ready to move forward after all this due diligence, it's time to prepare for closing the deal. So basically, number six is preparing for closing. You're going to finalize the loan. Is the appraisal done? Did the property appraise for the purchase price or more? Right? If it came in less, you're going to have to renegotiate the deal. You're going to have to clear the loan conditions. This is always big and commercial. And so you have your, you know, the lender will say, yes, it's approved. And they send you a long list of sometimes 20 or 30 things that you still have to supply to them in order to get the final approval and get closed. All right, so this is huge. You're going to have to clear the loan conditions. That means you got to send them a lot of stuff. All right, next, finalize your property manager agreement, right? So many of our students, they don't manage the property themselves. They will hire a property management company. This part is huge. Next is create an operating budget. So an operating budget is you're projecting for the next 12 months how much income you're making each month and what you're spending each month. Is critical in commercial real estate to do that. You just can't buy it and expect cash flow. You need to be intentional about what income you're bringing in and what you'll be spending to pay your mortgage and have some cash flow left over. You have to be very intentional about that. So we created an operating budget and the CapEx schedule. CapEx is capital expenditures. Basically, these are items that you're going to do one time on a property, like replacing a roof, or replacing HVACs, or fixing a parking lot, or building or tearing down, building up new stairwells in the property, okay? So you need to have that all ready to go. Next is you're gonna finalize the plan. It's an asset management plan. This is something that our students have. So it's a document created by us. It's an asset management plan that helps them create benchmarks for how they're gonna operate the property from day one all the way down to executing their exit strategy. So what the CapEx is, what your budget is, what's day one cash flow, what is day 30 cash flow, what's the money you're going to spend on day one on life and safety issues, All that is in the asset management plan. Very important part of making sure that you know what you're doing and you can be successful. And then lastly, you're going to wire the down payment. Wire the down payment funds, and then you are pretty much ready to go here. So after number six, you have arrived at the closing day. The closing day is here. I say here, pat yourself on the back. That's a huge accomplishment to get this far. And for a typical commercial deal, this is probably between the 40th and 60th day. Yes, 40th and 60th day of your transaction, probably close to 60. So a lot of work up to then. So on your closing day, it should be quite uneventful. If you prepared well, there's not much going on the closing day. You know, all the nerves are out. You're just sitting there and you're signing documents. And it says here, you'll have a 1-inch or 2-inch thick pile of paperwork to forms the to initial sign and date at the closing table. And then after that, I want you to celebrate, okay? Be grateful. So do something nice for yourself. For me personally, I like to do a steak dinner. I love Wagyu steak. It's a Japanese delicacy. It's a Japanese steak and it's fire. It'll change your life. It is so delicious. It's expensive, but hey, I deserve after doing all this. You should too. So do something nice for yourself. So after closing days here, guess what? The work is just beginning. So I'm going to take you over to number 8, 9, and 10. This is where the money's made. Let's do that next. All right. Once you have closed your deal, now the real work begins. So number 8 is I call post-closing activities. So you've already closed your deals, and this is where the real money is made, and this is what we call asset management. This part of the business, You hardly will find on YouTube because it's not the part where you get the most clicks or it's the most popular subject, but it is probably the most important topic once you close a deal. So I'm going to briefly go over it. So mainly you're going to work with your property manager and your general contractors on starting your property improvements. And prior to this, on step 7, you already have this budget and schedule and everything ready to go. Next, you're going to execute your value add. So you're going to add value to the property, or you're going to do a renovation. We call it a value add renovation program. You're going to start that, and that could include getting tenants out, getting the rent raises up, renovation of the units, working with the city, all those types of things you have to get going. Now, this is really important. Is this is your mindset, the proper mindset they have in this part, because now it gets serious, okay? And you have to have a military-like mindset is needed right here. So you are the sergeant. Everyone else around you, they're the privates. That's the only way to get this done and get it done under budget or at budget and on time. If you play loosey-goosey or everybody's your best friend, you're going to fail, guaranteed. So number 8 is post-closing activities, asset management. Number 9, this is probably, as I mentioned before, the most unsexiest part of commercial real estate. But it probably is, I don't know, maybe the top 1 or 2 most important pieces of commercial real estate that people never talk about. And this is on property reporting and your accounting. I say this is how empires are built, through this. Now, our company, we spent huge amount of resources in setting up our students with this part. In fact, we have an accounting firm that we partner with, and they only take our students. So it's a huge firm. They work with our students exclusively. That's how important it is. So this part, as I mentioned, absolute must. The reason why you do this, you must understand the financials behind what I call the 4 M's. In order to be successful in this business, the 4 M's are management, money, marketing, and maintenance. Commercial real estate is like a 4-legged stool. And if one of these 4 M's start to fall, everything falls all together eventually. So your accounting and your reporting are going to show you the performance levels of your management, your money, your marketing, and your maintenance. And then lastly, in reporting and accounting at the end, is you really need brilliant tax planning, because it can and will change your financial life forever if it's done well. It's one of the beauties of commercial real estate. One of the best ways to build wealth is to have brilliant tax planning. That's what I call it. Okay, not smart, but brilliant. So now I'm going to go to number 10, which is, I know, maybe I overuse this word, but the most important part. Okay, let's go to number 10 and wrap it up. All right, here we are. Step 10, the last step. And the last step is to execute your extra strategy, where you get to experience the fruits of your labor. You know, why did you buy this property, right? Why did you put your hard-earned money into it and work your behind off to be successful here? There's a reason behind it. It could be maybe you're older, you don't have a retirement. Maybe you see the writing on the wall with your job and you want to protect yourself against a layoff or leave a legacy to your family or to your kids. Whatever it is, steps 1 through 9 takes you to execute your why. And so your extra strategy could be to buy the property, fix it up, do a cash out refinance, pull the money out, and then keep the property and repeat the process. Another extra strategy could be to just buy the property, fix it up, and hold it long term for retirement and have you pay you money long term. Number 3, it could be to buy, fix up the property, and then to 1031 exchange it into a larger property to defer the capital gains taxes to just build a huge portfolio for your personal reasons. And lastly, it could be to buy, fix up the property, hold it, and then sell it and retire. So whatever your extra strategy is, the prior 9 steps take you to this point. Now, after I explained to you all 10 steps and I broke it all down as best I could, the question is, can you see yourself investing now in commercial real estate? Yes or no? Thanks, everyone. Hey, I appreciate you hanging out with me. If you want to learn more like our students are doing, go ahead and apply to our protege program. And also, too, if you just want to learn and just read more about commercial real estate, I have a book called Commercial Real Estate for Beginners. Just download it and just read it. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your day.